Favor of these items, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Items are approved. I now ask for a motion to adopt agenda item 104A from the Office of the Child Advocate.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The item is approved. I now ask for a motion to adopt agenda items 105 to 109 from the Office of Administrative Services.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The items are approved. We do have our late items from the Department of Natural and Cultural Resources. Can I please have a motion to adopt late items A, B, and C from the Department of Natural and Cultural Resources?
So moved.
Second.
Motion second. Any discussion? I imagine there will be some.
Good afternoon.
I'm sorry. Who wants to? Councilor Wilinski.
At the end of the discussion, I'm going to move to table this item till the next meeting because of this being a late item. It wasn't capable of being posted on the Secretary of State's agenda. And that being true, there are a number of constituents that have voiced concerns about transparency issues. I don't think it's anyone's fault, but I think by extending 2 weeks, we give people transparency into the three items. So I won't move until there's discussion here.
Thank you.
That's where I'm headed.
Further discussion, Councilor Kenny. So,
Governor, believe it or not, I've been ready to vote on this since October 17th, and to my fellow councilors. I asked a question in between, I believe, 10 o'clock and 1:30, and I got some answers back. Nothing has changed from what was offered initially in October 17th as regards to the amount of Center Peak contract. The only thing that has happened is we've just broken it out into three amendments. But substantively, nothing has changed. And one of the things I was really, and I had forgotten about, but this has been posted on the MSAC website for the last several months for the public to look at. So what they've been looking at off the website or, you know, informational hearings that we had over in Sunapee and subsequently other governor council meetings and the previous contract that was on the governor council website, nothing has changed. So the perception that it's a late item, it's not really a late item. It's an item that's already been on the table for the last several months. Nothing has really changed. So once I kind of discovered that in between the breakfast meeting and this afternoon, there's nothing new. It's the same contract. It's just divided into three amendments. So whereas before it was kind of an omnibus contract. So I'm comfortable in voting for it today.
Okay. Thank you, Councilor. Further discussion?
Sure. We're on item B. Ray, sure. Where do you want to start?
Go. You.
We're on item B.
Like. Item B, okay.
So to address that this is the same or not, the order of wording has changed in the explanation part. I've already talked to with the Attorney General about this, and supposedly this is of no consequence whether there's wording changes in the explanation, but there is a difference. So today we have different language for explanation than we did a while ago, and that is on explanation's second paragraph. There is a change of order of whether it was assigned its interest as the lessee under the lease to TSD and then transferred its interest in the site improvements located. The sequence of the procedure of the transfer. Did they give up their rights first? Did they transfer first, then give up their rights? It's unknown to me, and I think it is something that I need to discuss further with the Attorney General. So I will be voting for tabling. There is substantive change in my mind. Secondly, on the section of C, The oversight and administration of the lease, we are still stuck in RSA 12A-29A, and that obviously is not the RSA that we should be following to develop a oversight and administration commission. Based on a really nice piece of study and work, which came from Senior Assistant Attorney General Diane Martin. Terrific job, and I'd like to start my testimony about, or just start my discussion about the reasons why I'm opposed to Part B West Bowl expansion. I myself believe that the power vested in the people is the best, not in unelected officials making very, very large policy decisions without direction from the legislature, either by RSA or by rule. And I will show you that this lease was developed by RSAs and actually guided and shepherded by the legislature. by the legislature. And so if we go to the conclusion of Diane Martin's notes about whether or not this initial lease was legitimate or not, that it followed the law or not, the conclusion is this.
May I just interrupt?
Certainly.
The document you're referring to was sent to the council under the attorney-client privilege, and it would be up to the, before we have a public discussion of it, I would just want to formally waive the privilege.
Oh.
So how would that be done?
Yeah.
That's the majority of the council.
Okay. So if we could take a pause, I didn't realize that either. So you're just so I'm clear, the council would have to vote to waive attorney-client privilege on the document itself.
Right.
Not specific paragraphs?
Yes. For you to engage in a substantive discussion, I think it would be proper for the body which owns the privilege to waive the privilege, and then we can have a public discussion about it.
Okay. Yeah. So I would like
to be able to discuss this. I think it's pertinent to the reasoning for not having a West Bowl expansion.
Okay. So there's a motion to waive the privilege.
Correct.
On the document. Councilor Walensky.
I'd like to hear from the Attorney General and the Assistant Attorney General about whether there's a downside to us waiving the privilege on this. You're okay with it?
Not at all. No downside.
Okay.
So there's a motion.
We had a second.
We have a motion and a second to waive attorney-client privilege on the document. All in favor? Any further discussion on this waiving motion? Seeing no discussion, all in favor of waiving the attorney-client privilege on the document, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The council has agreed to waive attorney-client privilege. No, I appreciate that. Right.
So for the record, this is a document to Governor Sununu and the Executive Council through Gordon J. McDonald, Attorney General, from Diane Martin, Senior Assistant Attorney General. And its date is December 3rd, 2018, and references legal sufficiency of the Mount Sunapee Ski Area lease. And I'm going to read the conclusion. The lease of the Mount Sunapee Ski Area was not entered into lightly. The lease, as written and approved, is the product of a lawful process that occurred over a period of years and included numerous public hearings. Understandably, it also included changes as to what would be included and how the lease could be best managed, as the issues and concerns related to such a significant decision developed and were vetted. The legislative history demonstrates that the Sunapee lease went through each and every step required by law. The RFP was created by the Joint Legislative Committee with the Commissioner. The proposals were each reviewed by the same Joint Legislative Committee. That legislative committee was made up of, and I'm interjecting this, 4 senators and 10 representatives. It was 14 legislatures involved. They actually, continuing, it was the legislative committee's recommendation that determined which proposal was selected. The lease itself was also developed by the joint legislative committee with the commissioner. Finally, the lease was approved by both the Capital Budget Overview Committee and by the governor and council. As a result, there can be no question that the Sunapee lease is legal and enforceable as written. And I just suggest that when the legislature made the policy, they put in the four senators, the 10 reps, and they worked with the governor. And this is the conclusion 20 years later. Looking back, Diane found those accounts. At the time, the commissioner of Dred was Rob Thompson. And this is what he said on page 5. The process began last year with the creation of a 14-member advisory committee. That's HB 628 from 1997, for the record. And this was done through the commissioner's office for the development of the request for proposal for the leasing of public hearings and for the leasing of public hearings and work sessions with the committee. The RFPs went out in January and responses came back in April. There were a number of responses for both Sunapee as well as Cannon Mountain, and after reviewing the proposals and receiving a presentation from each of the operators, the legislative committee recommended that Sunapee be leased to Okemo Mountain. It's a 20-year lease with two 10-year terms. It is essentially the lease developed by the joint legislative committee, with me and the Attorney General's office. And I'd like to say that information is amazing. Thank you very much for it, because it shows just how much public input through the legislature was done to take over a ski area and make it really, really work well for the state of New Hampshire. And it has been astounding. It has helped out Cannon Mountain. All the revenues went there. And we spent study committee time. We spent time with a number of legislators to get the job done. And when they got the job done, they went to the commissioner and said, hey, what do you think? And the commissioner, they worked together. And that was the process. It was from the people's court up. In contrast, I'm reading some excerpts from the court case, Sunapee Difference versus the State of New Hampshire, decided on April 30th, 2013. And I always call it Sunapee versus the State of New Hampshire. And on page 2, it says here, Governor Gene Shaheen and the Executive Council approved the lease on June 10th, 1998. And I'm going through a little bit of timeline so people understand how did we get to this place where we haven't had any legislative input since the lease began on the Sunapee Mountain. So sometime in 2000, Sunapee discovered that the north and western leasehold boundaries described in the lease were not coterminous with those of the state park. And that was one of the parts of the lawsuit. From the time Sunapee responded to the RFP, Sunapee had proposed expanding the ski area to the east, and that would be the area when the land was leased. During the RFP pre-submittal stage, the state provided prospective operators with eastern expansion plans, so-called Eastern Bowl. The state had itself developed but had never implemented. Sunapee's plans were thwarted, however, when old growth forest was discovered in the area of its proposed expansion. And at that point, expanding to the west became the only viable option. This is where we lose legislative direction. The actual lease, the legislative direction was expanding the ski area in the East Bowl. That was shut down for environmental reasons, and at that point, expanding to the west became the only viable option for expanding Mount Sunapee. In 2000, Sunapee obtained options to buy privately owned land bordering the western boundary of the state park. Because the leasehold and state park boundaries were not described as coterminous in the lease, however, this land could not be used for expansion without including the buffer land in the leasehold. Accordingly, Sunapee requested that DRED approve inclusion of the buffer land and amend the lease. On February 27, 2002, 2 years later, George Bald, and this is without legislative direction, who was then Commissioner of DRED, announced that he would recommend such a lease amendment to the governor and council only after Sunapee met three enumerated conditions. Around this time, Sunapee informed the state that its purchase options on land adjacent to the state park would soon expire. And based on Bald's assurances that he still favored the western expansion, as long as Sunapee satisfied the enumerated conditions, Sunapee exercised those options. They paid $2.1 million for all that land. And they based it on the commissioner of DRED without any legislative authority and without any legislative insight. As remembered, when we went through what Diane had put together, there was so much input into the lease itself, and now we're talking about an expansion into the west that is a far, far more expensive, larger project because they're starting from the ground up. In addition to that, the next parts of this court case docket. Although Sunapee met Ball's conditions, the expansion plan was not presented to the governor and council while Wald was commissioner. And while Craig Benson was governor, it wasn't presented as well. In 2004, Sean O'Kane became commissioner of DRED. He imposed additional conditions, which Sunapee also met. So there was even more imposition by the state of New Hampshire. John Lynch became governor in 2005. While campaigning, he strongly opposed Sunapee's plan for expansion. Once in office, Governor Lynch urged Commissioner O'Kane to reject the plan. But O'Kane nevertheless recommended that the state conditionally approve a lease amendment expanding the leasehold. Governor Lynch, however, refused to bring the amendment before the Executive Council. That is when the lawsuit occurred. And I found on the internet a video. And this video took place on August 25th, 2007. And it showed a conversation between Ray Wieczorek and George Bald. Ray Wieczorek had asked, are you in conversation with the Mullers, with Sunapee? And George Bald said, yes. And Ray Wieczorek says, what are you talking about? And he says, I don't know what I should say. Therefore, John Lynch spoke up. And this is quoted. If they are interested in expanding skiable terrain to accommodate more skiers, I'm certainly in favor of that. But not for the purpose of them building condominiums, because I don't think that's appropriate. And that was the Executive Council meeting on August 22nd, 2007. So you see for certain that the governor at that time did not want to bring forward that, and that's part of the lawsuit. The rest of the lawsuit was, you know, can we force the Executive Council to make a decision? They lost that lawsuit. Can I have the leasehold be part of the whole property that the state owns? They won that part. However, one of their also parts was that they wanted to have a right to expansion. And the ruling was the lease contains no express or implied right or guarantee of expansion. So they got the north and west boundaries, but they got no right to expansion. So what we have is a problem with legislative direction. It's where we have the problem today. Without legislative direction, we have two frames of thought. Do we have legislative direction for huge project such as this, or do we say no? That's my dilemma. I say we should have legislative direction before we vote on this West Pole expansion. It is important for the process of the people to have the ability to have their voices heard through their elected officials. If you look at the enormity of the project, we do not have enough information to understand as a second point of why we shouldn't vote for this contract. What is referenced here is that there's parking locations here and here, and in the lease, if we approve the West Bowl expansion, it states, among the rights exchanged between the parties, Mount Sunapee Resort would retain the right to use and cross the parking lot to support abutting private property. However, the state would hold the real interest of the parking lot rather than accepting an easement so for the use to be privately held. And I have not gotten the answer of how does that look? What does that look like? How many cars are going to be accessing that parking lot from left, from right? And it is disturbing that it is left up to future decisions without a good legislative oversight. That's just my second reasoning behind it, just one item that says, hey, it's not ready for prime time. That's it. And I anticipate that since we have been looking back at this 20 years to try and figure out what happened, and we found out that, hey, it was done right, it was done because the legislature was highly involved. I anticipate if we don't take action to say, hey, let's get the legislature involved again so that the people's court is doing their job and the people are being heard, I believe that we are going to leave things undone and it will be an enormous harm to the state of New Hampshire. So I will leave you with a couple of more.
Can I ask a question, Governor, to the counselor?
I'll let the counselor. Do you want to entertain a question or should
we just make a question?
Yeah, sure.
The unknown about what the expansion will look like, they just can't arbitrarily go out and build whatever they want. They have to go through site review planning. They have to get all state permits to do whatever, you know, within their, you know, codes and regulations of site review. So. I just want to let you know that there is a checks and balance there.
Yeah, and it's a secondary objection. The primary objection is the people's court has not been involved whatsoever. Okay. It's usurping the authority of the legislature to make the policies of our state. The policies of our state for this West Pole expansion were made because land was purchased, because the East Pole expansion was shut down, therefore logical hate. We want to go into the West Bowl expansion. We believe that the lease allows us, you know, says implicitly that we can do that and that we can get an up and down vote. It doesn't say that. The court case said no. It is plain language of the lease. There is no rights to expansion outside of the leasehold area. And this was a risk not taken by the state of New Hampshire. It was a risk taken by the leaseholders. And that's where I say we went off track without bringing the legislature back in to say, hey, you wanted to have a plain old lease, now do you want to do an expansion outside of that leasehold area or not? And that's where I am today. I think we should vote down this West Bowl expansion and take the advice of the legislature, which obviously worked well 20 years ago in hindsight, and hopefully 20 years from now in hindsight, we would do the right thing and let the legislature do their job, because do we want commissioners and directors making these real large-scale policies for our state parks, especially, without a directive from the legislature to do so? I think it is inappropriate. And I believe that large state policy decisions like this one, as a general rule, should be directed by the legislature, just like the original lease. And then this West Bowl expansion is outside of legislative policy of the original lease. New Hampshire Supreme Court stated it contains no express or implied right or guarantee of expansion. And I do have those concerns as shown on the map. And in conclusion, Vail has stated that they have desires, they don't have desires to act upon a lease, the West Bowl expansion, for 2 years. And I believe that we have the opportunity to revisit this, and my advice is that we do not usurp the authority of our elected officials and let them craft New Hampshire State Park and ski area and the policy surrounding it as they have done in the past. And I'm going to give you a quote from Colin Van Oster. You were here, Governor.
I was.
Using
Council Pappas was here too.
Yeah. That the West Bowl expansion, by the quote from Colin Van Oster, has done more to enable private gain than to ensure public access, and effectively creating exclusive private access to public trails. And I see it as using the brand, using the goodwill of the state park system to expand into condominium building. And that is what Governor Lynch said. If they are interested in expanding skiable terrain to accommodate more skiers, I'm certainly not in favor of that, but not for the purpose, sorry, in favor of that, but not for the purpose of building condominiums, because I don't think that's appropriate. And obviously, the legislature never chimed in on this. They're completely silent. And why should we think that we have a policy from the legislature? We don't. We don't have any policy from the legislature for West Bowl expansion. And we have no obligation of making this West Bowl expansion. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you, Councilor. Further discussion from the council on the matter.
I just have a question for the Attorney General.
Please.
So it just because of the previous discussion here, are we acting outside of our constitutional authority to accept this lease? Is that authority properly vested in this body to be able to accept this lease?
There's a couple of areas to look at that suggest that you do, in fact, have the authority to act in this scenario. The first one is that while the lease itself doesn't contemplate expansion, the process, that detailed process that I went through in the memo, did provide for expansion. So the RFP itself contemplated that the proposers would include their prospective thoughts about expansion and would make assertions that they would explore opportunities for expanding winter and summer recreational activities. The kind of follow-on piece that goes with that is that the lease itself contains an amendment provision that says that it can be amended by the approval of governor and council. So with both of those things in place, it appears that the legislature intended for you to have the authority to approve an amendment and that they contemplated expansion as part of the original process.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Further discussion, Council Levin? Sorry, Belinsky.
I would move to table till the 19th.
We have three items before
all
us.
Three.
For all three. So there's a motion to table items A, B, and C and for one more meeting. Is there a second on that motion?
Second.
So I have a motion and a second. All in favor of tabling items A, B, and C, please signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed?
No.
No.
All three items are officially tabled.
Can I explain my no vote?
the item is closed, so yeah, we can.
What I'm concerned about is that we've taken a lot of state agency employment time. We're still fielding questions from the public that have already been answered that are on the website. We've got legal costs that are involved in this. So we are wearing down our state agency. To get the right answer, I don't know what that right answer is. But from my perspective, what's going to happen in the next 2 weeks? What is the next, I gotcha? This thing has been clear, crystal clear, you know, really from October. As far as what these amendments are intended to do, there's no change in my mind from what happened back in October to what's happened today. The other thing I would point out, too, is that the Mueller family, a few years ago, got an amendment to the contract for that West Pole expansion. It's always been my belief that the new ownership should not be void of that expansion opportunity, that they should be able to hold on to that. And so, in my mind, nothing's really changed except we have a dynamic ownership called Vail Incorporated that we should be welcoming with open arms into our state to effectively do business in our state to get, you know, continue to go through the winter season and the all-round year season, knowing that there's an opportunity for them to either work with the Forest Society or they could work with some type of other expansion proposal in the future, knowing that there's always going to be checks and balance. So I'm not really sure. I've heard what the Deputy Attorney General said, that we're within our constitutional purview of moving forward on this. And I really don't understand what more is going to be come before the table here in the next 2 weeks. I'm afraid that something will come before the table and it'll be a gotcha moment. And next thing you know, it's off to the next council, and who knows what's going to happen.
Good point. Technically, we are through the item. Any other business or comments to come before the executive council?
We, the governor, we just have to schedule a time for the pardon hearing.
Yeah.
Before we.
Okay.
Well, do I do a pardon hearing?
Monday's pretty well done.
I do.
Okay.
I'm on the
17th.
Okay. That'll be a Monday.
Just to let me know whenever they want it. I'll move whatever I have to. You guys decide amongst yourselves. I'll move whatever I have to.
Monday.
I have to be here. Yeah. I share.
That would be the 17th.
Yeah. I'll move whatever I have to.
That's all right.
It's fine.
17th. 17th.
With that, the meeting is adjourned.
Okay. What's the outcome?
Bill 1. 209 to 204.